How is it that a church tradition that once stood solidly with the Jewish people is now blatantly anti-Semitic?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, coming to the end of the season of Pentecost, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks on the biblical and Jewish calendar. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Any Jewish-related question you have of any kind, anything you want to raise to me in terms of messianic prophecy or what Jewish people believe or contemporary issues with Israel, or Jewish background to the New Testament, this is a great day to call, 866-348-7884. I am going to be focusing on a couple of issues in particular, especially some recent reaction to an official statement from the Church of Scotland regarding Israel and the Jewish people. Dennis Prager, the Jewish radio host and author, has called this document anti-Semitic. I agree with him. Others have challenged that. I wrote an article called From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, The Church of Scotland Then and Now, talking about the incredible tradition of Philo-Semitism that existed in the Church of Scotland in centuries past. I mean, remarkable solidarity with the Jewish people before they were in the land, a hope and confidence that they would be restored to the land. quite a contrast. You can read that article by going to AskDrBrown.org, my newly revamped website. If you haven't visited there yet, please do. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the latest article, and you'll be able to read that immediately. Oh, while you're there, click on the latest video. We already have online the debate from Saturday night, thanks to a hardworking videographer. We already have the debate online. You can watch my debate on Calvinism, a new debate. This is not the debate from a few weeks, months back with my friend Dr. James White, but with Pastor Bruce Bennett, a longtime friend and colleague and former student from Long Island, on the question of eternal salvation, who makes the final choice, God or man. You can watch that debate just by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on the latest video. All right, so all those resources are waiting there for you. But there are a number of other things I want to discuss as well, some recent news related to Iran, a little bit more about the spiritual significance of Shavuot, Pentecost, some interesting Jewish traditions, some interesting fulfillment in the New Testament as well. And as always, your Jewish-related calls on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday right here on the Line of Fire. Friends, can I tell you candidly that I see so much incredible potential. The season, the day that we're living in, as far as Jewish people coming to faith in larger numbers than we have ever seen. No, I can't give you a specific chapter and verse to prove that. I cannot even point to definite sociological or demographic trends that I could say, well, this and this and this have happened, therefore we can see the rest. It just seems that I run into more and more Jewish people who are sharing the gospel with their friends and seeing their friends and family members get saved. More and more non-Jews, followers of Jesus, who are reaching out to Jewish friends and fellow workers, and those people are coming to faith. More and more things happening in the land of Israel. More and more evidence of ultra-Orthodox Jews privately and secretly seeking. Something's up. It's a great harvest time. I'll be sharing with you in weeks to come some amazing opportunities we have now to extend the gospel to the Jewish people and to equip the church for Jewish witness. All right, stay tuned. A whole lot more to come right around the corner, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A little later in the broadcast, I'm going to give away a few copies of the book by my friend, Dr. James White, on what every Christian should know about the Quran. We did an interview last week, and after the interview, I realized the publisher had sent us a few books to give away, so we will do that later in the broadcast. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast, 866-348-7884. Before I talk more about the situation with the church in Scotland and its statement on Israel, not representing all Christians in Scotland, all church branches in Scotland, I heard from one dear Scottish brother via Twitter. My Twitter handle is Dr. That's Dr. Michael L. Brown. And he said, hey, there are certain Scottish churches that still stand with Israel and the Jewish people, certain denominations. I'll see if I can find that tweet and repeat it to you. But he agreed that their voice is not heard loudly enough. Before I get to that, before I get to your phone calls, you know there's the expression, and I'm just using a common expression, not in a derogatory way, that setting up certain people in certain places is like asking the lunatics to run the asylum or the inmates to run the prison. Well, have you heard this news from the Jerusalem Post? Iran to chair nuclear disarmament conference. Not making that up. Iran will chair United States Conference on Disarmament in Geneva this month, raising eyebrows from Western powers skeptical of Iran's own nuclear ambitions. The UN conference addresses not only nuclear proliferation, but policies concerning the race to weaponize space, the production of radiological weapons, and the stockpiling or use of other weapons of mass destruction. Iran will chair the conference barely a month after Geneva held a separate preparatory conference on the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, where Iran and North Korea were the top two concerns of participating states. The Office of Secretary General Ban Ki-moon provided no comment on Iran's position as chair, noting that such decisions are left to member states. What can you say to that? What can you say to that? A report from Israel, Arutz 7 News. Iran's looming status as head of a UN disarmament body sparked outrage Monday from protesters who said its nuclear program and arming of Syria and Islamist militias disqualified it from a place at the table. This is like putting Jack the Ripper in charge of a women's shelter, said Hillel Nourier, head of Geneva-based UN Watch, announcing that the organization would organize protest events involving Iranian dissidents. Further quote, Iran is an international outlaw state that illegally supplies rockets to Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas, aiding and abetting mass murder and terrorism. To make this rogue regime head of world arms control is simply an outrage. Abuses of international norms should not be the public face of the UN. He said when the United Nations imposes four rounds of sanctions on Iran for illicit nuclear activities, condemns it for illegally arming the murderous Syrian regime, and denounces Tehran's massive abuse of human rights, this kind of appointment justifies common sense and harms the UN's credibility. Absolutely. Does somebody get this? Is there some logic here that completely escapes us? Yeah, I made reference to the old saying, this is like the lunatics running the asylum or the inmates running the prison. I think the example here is even better. This is like putting Jack the Ripper in charge of a women's shelter. And according to recent reports, the death toll in Syria conflict is 94,000 people, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. It's a very complex, difficult situation because obviously the regime of President Assad is corrupt and obviously it is complicit with Iran in many ways and obviously it helps sponsor terror in certain ways. especially with what happens in Lebanon. And Lebanon is a base for terror operations, groups like Hezbollah. At the same time, the fall of the Assad regime could mean severe persecution of the Christian population in Syria, whether it is born-again Christian population or nominal Christian population. That doesn't matter much to the Muslims who hate them. So it's a situation that really requires prayer, tremendous suffering, tremendous atrocities. You know, as much as we are rightly outraged over the horrors of the Boston Marathon bombing and the horrific suffering inflicted on people, some of which will last a lifetime, in some cases scars that will never heal, as much as it is absolutely right to be outraged over that, what's taking place in Syria in terms of human suffering and barbarity utterly dwarfs that. And yet much of the world still sits idly by. I'm not saying there is a simple solution. I'm simply saying this needs our attention. This needs our prayers. 866-348-7884. Let's go to the phones. Rich in Essex County, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I have. I can hear you.
Here's my dilemma. I have a Hasidic Jewish community not too far, maybe 30 miles from my home in Muncie, New York.
Yeah.
And I've had occasion to go there. I've had Isaiah 53 and other Isaiah passages written out on a 9x12, a 5x12, whatever, with explanations, you know. And hopefully that maybe one of them might come to faith in Christ and whatnot. But lately, I mean, I've been asking, if I had come across a Hasidic Jew, I asked them about Isaiah, and they don't seem to even know the book of Isaiah. Am I wasting my time printing things in English, or should I try to go the Hebrew route and understand it's a Hebrew word for Isaiah, and maybe hand them handouts in the Hebrew language? Maybe, would that be a better
answer? Yeah, Rich, in point of fact, first you will, if you wonder, let's say you have a very committed Christian community, right? And someone comes walking into that community, three quarters naked, pierced through, you know, through their eyebrows, through their lips, and, you know, tattoos with 666 across their forehead, and handing out literature with pentagrams saying, listen to us, we know the truth about God. Well, obviously, you're going to pray for that person, but you're pretty much going to avoid them. If you got kids with you, you just avoid that person. Well, that's how a secular Gentile would look to an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community like Muncie. Not that they would have hatred towards you, but that you would be looked at as a complete outsider. And the idea that you're going to tell them the truth about God or the truth about the Messiah or the truth about their scriptures would seem completely absurd to them. Now, it doesn't mean there are not those who are seeking in the midst of the community or who have questions in the midst of the community. It simply means that, especially with something in English or even mentioning Isaiah, when some of them speak Yiddish first and English not even that well, you know, some of the ultra-Orthodox that are in a totally secluded lifestyle, it's just, you got 10 strikes against you before you start. And then what they know about Jesus is very negative. What they know about church history, that's largely how they see Jesus. So what I would encourage you to do is, by all means, get Isaiah 53, print it up in Hebrew. Or if you just check with a group like Chosen People Ministries in New York or Jews for Jesus and say, hey, could you just get me the text of Isaiah 53 in Hebrew and Yiddish or in a Yiddish translation? And just give that to them. And, you know, if you have access, just say, oh, I just love the Jewish people and pray for the Jewish people and just give them to that, you know, that and you know, there is literature available from these different groups, from Jews for Jesus, Chosen People, that is available, that is in Hebrew or is in Yiddish, and that could be really, really helpful for them. We're also partnering together with my friend Sid Roth in a very major way in developing of a special website for the very religious Jew in Hebrew and then ultimately in Yiddish, so that they can go there and just seek privately. You know, there are some available, mainly Israel-based. You know, we'll have one with a more universal appeal. But if you just check, as I said, with Chosen People or with Jews for Jesus for Isaiah 53 in Hebrew, and then if you have them with Yiddish translation, wonderful. Only other thing I'd mention to you, Rich, is Volume 3 of my series on Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. I deal at length with Jewish objections to Isaiah 53 applying to Jesus. Volume 3 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. We'll be right back with a focus on the Church of Scotland. Has it become anti-Semitic?
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's give away a copy of James White's excellent new book I wrote an endorsement for as well, What Every Christian Should Know About the Quran. 866-348-7884. We'll give away a free copy of this book to caller number 4, just to make it easy on Johnny, our call screener today. Caller number 4, 866-348-7884, a free copy of What Every Christian Needs to Know About the Quran by Dr. James White. That's also the number to call in a moment with your questions and comments on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. All right, this was news a little over a week ago, and Dennis Prager wrote an excellent article, and then I added an article as a follow-up to Dennis Prager's article. Dennis Prager wrote an article called The Church of Scotland's Scandal, and he noted that earlier this month, the Church of Scotland issued a report titled The Inheritance of Abraham, a report on the Promised Land. We do have a winner. Thank you for all your calls. We do have a winner. Stay tuned. Next half hour, I'll give away another copy. And you can always order it. That's right. You can always order it. So Dennis Prager says, the essence of the report is that according to the Bible, Jews have no more attachment to the land of Israel than anyone else. Hence, quote, promised land is in quotation marks in the report's title because there is no promised land. And obviously, if there's no promised land, there's no unique promise to Israel or even perhaps chosenness of Israel. Prager continues, in the report's words, the New Testament contains a radical reinterpretation of the concepts of Israel, temple, Jerusalem, and land. When the Bible mentions Israel, it does not mean Israel. When it says temple, the Bible does not mean the Jewish temple. Jerusalem does not mean the city of Jerusalem. And land does not mean land. Promises about the land of Israel, the report continues, were never intended to be taken literally or as applying to a defined geographical territory. This is an official Church of Scotland report. I wrote an article called From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, the Church of Scotland Then and Now. My article is online right now, but just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And click on latest articles, and you can read my article. So what I show is in the 1800s, there was an extraordinary solidarity with the Jewish people among some of the top Christian leaders in the country. Famous names like the saintly Robert Murray McShane or the revivalist William C. Burns, who gave his life as a missionary in China, or Andrew Bonar, famous theologian and biblical author. And then that tradition goes back to the 1600s with Puritans, like the leading Puritan theologian, John Owen, and Samuel Rutherford, one of the most spiritually minded of the Puritans. They had these tremendous visions and burdens for the restoration of Israel and the Jewish people. What a contrast. What an extreme contrast. Prager notes, even during the worst excesses of Christian anti-Semitism in the Middle Ages, It is doubtful that any normative Christian body declared that Israel, the temple, Jerusalem, and the land no longer meant or were ever intended to mean what those words represent. I mean, if I showed, but the New Testament says about Israel over and over and over and Jews all over and over, oh, but it means something else. What do you do with that? What do you do with the fact that human language can no longer convey human truth? What do you do with the fact that it completely undermines what's written in the Old Testament, what's written in the Hebrew Scriptures? What do you do with that? Prager says the claim is not only profoundly anti-Semitic, it is an act of theological forgery. It makes a mockery of the Bible in a coherent document, as a coherent document, and renders Christianity inherently anti-Semitic. Now, I've been dialoguing with a friend on Facebook who takes exception to me agreeing with Dennis Prager that the Church of Scotland document is anti-Semitic in any way, just because it criticizes modern Israel. Well, no, it doesn't just do that. It says that Israel having a right to the land and human justice are incompatible. It says that the clear promises that God gave to Israel in the Hebrew Scriptures have now been radically reinterpreted in the New Testament so that they no longer apply to Israel and the Jewish people, and that it was wrong for the Jewish people to claim any sense of chosenness. Those statements would qualify as inherently anti-Semitic, would they not? Dennis Prager says it would be as if a major post-Christian religious body had announced that Jesus, Christ, crucifixion, and resurrection had never meant what Christians in the New Testament had always understood them to mean. Imagine if a major Muslim body declared that Jesus means Muhammad, Christ means Quran, crucifixion means Islamophobia, and resurrection means the Hajj. He says, I've never equated criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism, but the Church of Scotland report is not about criticism of Israel. It is about invalidating the Jewish people and invalidating the Jews' historically incontestable claims to the land upon which the only independent states that ever existed were Jewish. Again, if you read my article from Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, the Church of Scotland, and now, you'll have a link to the Prager article. In the second hour, you can catch this online or later today on our website, AskDrBrown.org. I'll be interviewing a Messianic Jewish rabbi who will give his official take. I say official on behalf of a large number of Messianic Jews to the Church of Scotland report. Now pray for me. I'm working hard and finishing the Hyper Grace book. God willing, I will have that finished in the next month or so, and with a publication date for maybe 6 months down the line, followed by Can You Be Gay and Christian, working hard on those manuscripts. But my heart, the heart of our ministry, is always beating for the salvation of our Jewish people. We are partnering together with Sid Roth in what should be the largest effort to make accessible Jewish evangelism tools to reach Jewish people through internet that's been done thus far. July, I'm scheduled to launch an apologetics TV program on the NRB TV network in 32 million homes already and rapidly growing. And we're going to start with a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Would you stand with us? Would you sow into our work to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Would you honor the Lord in doing so and doing that as a recipient of the blessings that have come through the Jewish people, namely the Messiah and the Scriptures and the covenants of God? Your gift of any size, I want to send you my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, together with a 5x7 card that you can put in the book or put in your Bible, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary to help you to practically live out a life radically pleasing to the Lord and changing this world. All yours for your gift, your generous gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Andrew, I want you to queue up clips number 3 and 4. And Jeff in Massachusetts, I want to talk to you in one moment, so stay right there, sir. I do not use the term anti-Semitic lightly. I, along with others, have labeled a report on Israel, the Jewish people, put out by the Church of Scotland, not representing all the churches of Scotland, but an official document from the Church of Scotland. I've labeled it anti-Semitic. Dennis Prager labeled it anti-Semitic. Others did. And to read to you Prager's exact words, Prager said this: "I have never equated criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. But the Church of Scotland report is not about criticism of Israel. It's about invalidating the Jewish people and invalidating the Jews' historically incontestable claims to the land upon which the only independent states that ever existed were Jewish." Now, along with that issue of anti-Semitic, is there genuine Jew hatred? Is there a genuine repudiation of Jewish people? Or is there some stereotyping, negative stereotyping of Jewish people? Those things would be under the rubric of anti-Semitism. There is another issue to deal with here. Let me explain. I've written articles about Islam over the years, and I will carefully refer to radical Islam. I will carefully refer to radical Islam because I know that there are many Muslims that differ with radical Islam. Now, the question is, which is the authentic Islam? For example, when we look at this through the lens of Christians, the gospel, when you see a tiny group like Fred Phelps' group, the Westboro Baptist, with "God hates fags," and they'll do a protest at the funeral of an American military man killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they'll be rejoicing at the funeral and denouncing America. That has nothing to do with the gospel. That has nothing to do with the New Testament. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Zero. Nothing. And in fact, it's a tiny, tiny handful of people that represent almost nobody. So is that how it is with radical Islam? Is radical Islam similar to the Fred Phelps type thing, the Westboro Baptist type thing? Is that the reality of it? And therefore, you know, we should just recognize, we write it off? Or is that authentic Islam? I want to write an article on this. Hopefully I'll have time in the coming days to raise the question about radical Islam, because many people will criticize me and say, why do you call it radical Islam? It's just Islam. Again, the great majority of Muslims worldwide are not supporting, say, a suicide, say what the Boston Marathon bombers did in the name of Islam. They're not supporting terror like that. Is it because they're nominal? Is it because they are not true Muslims? Or is it because the others are just radicalized? Well, the fact is, even if radical Islam does not represent true Islam, the fact is it may represent 10 or 15 or 20% of Muslims worldwide, which is hundreds and hundreds of millions of people, not a handful of people like Westboro Baptist Church and Fred Phelps. And if you go back about 800 years, Islam basically wiped out Christianity in the Middle East and Northern Africa, not through peaceful conversion, but through violence. Only small remnants of the communities were left, like the Copts in Egypt, for example. So we come back. I want to take Jeff's call, which relates to Islam. I want to play a couple of shocker quotes from you. Yeah, just trust me, they're shocker. And then I want to get back to this Church of Scotland report. We'll tie it all together. If you've got a Jewish-related call, 866-348-7884.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday today. I want to return to the report from the Church of Scotland, which I and others consider to be anti-Semitic, a complete undermining and devaluing of an attack on Jewish identity, Jewish chosenness, Jewish right to the land on fundamental levels, repudiating of the Old Testament promises to the Jewish people. 866-348-7884. First, I'm going to tie this all in. Stay with me. I was talking about radical Islam. I'm going to tie this all in. This is Julian Bond. He is Chairman Emeritus of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And he said on Tuesday of this week that he supports the IRS's political targeting of Tea Party groups. Are you ready to hear why? Clip number one. Number three.
I think it's entirely legitimate to look at the Tea Party. I mean, here are a group of people who are admittedly racist, who are overtly political, who've tried as best they can to harm President Obama in every way they can.
Oh, okay. Overstatement or exaggeration or falsehood in almost every word there. This 12-second clip, okay? But it gets worse. Number four.
You know, they are the Taliban wing of American politics, and we all ought to be a little worried about them.
Sir, do you think that's a little harsh, calling them the Taliban wing of American politics?
Not at all. Not at all. The truth may hurt, but it's the truth.
Dangerous, dangerous, inflammatory, ugly, destructive, false rhetoric by a man who has some stature in his community and in the nation. Whatever respect one has held towards Mr. Bond is largely undermined, if not utterly disqualified, with nonsensical comments, disgraceful comments like that. The Taliban of American politics, Tea Party. Okay, and by the way, I'm not a member of the Tea Party, and this is not a conservative political talk show. Okay, so why do I raise that? I raise that to say, on the one hand, you have this ridiculous picture being painted of American conservative politics. Then you have, at the same time, a denial of the reality of Islam, the radical Islam, and its Jew hatred, and its hatred of America. Israel's called the little Satan. Not because it's less important, but because of size, America, the great Satan. When Jerusalem Day marches are held in Iran, and you have hundreds of thousands or a million plus people burning Israeli flags and American flags and chanting death to Israel, death to America, or where hundreds of thousands of Muslims gather in Lebanon for a Hezbollah rally and chant death to America, death to Israel, they mean that? They genuinely mean that? It doesn't mean that they are all totally sinful and America and Israel are totally perfect. It means there is a demonic supernatural hatred. So you have to deny that. The administration doesn't want to connect the dots between these various atrocities being committed in the name of Islam, from Fort Hood to Benghazi to the Boston Marathon bombings. All this is going on. And at the same time, the lie is being bought by church leaders that Israel is somehow the evil occupier in the Middle East. 866-348-7884. Yeah, I said a mouthful. I intended to give you an earful, but you're listening, not just to hear me repeat the same old worn-out slogans, and you're here, hopefully, to be challenged and to learn and to listen just as I listen attentively to your calls. Let's go to the phones. Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mike. Mike, you do so much good work on your program. God bless you. You'll be rewarded in heaven. Now,
well, thank
now with
you,
that
sir.
Said, the Lord had me and my friend Bob at the Boston Marathon. witnessing to people, passing out tracts, doing what we do at the marathon, being used by the Lord. And we heard the two bomb blasts at the Boston Public Library and seen the people, running and walking very fast. But you see, because we're believers, we didn't panic. We just continued on doing what we were doing. And you know what? The root of that bombing, one of the roots of that bombing was this. Those two terrorists belonged to, they went to the Cambridge Mosque and the Boston Islamic Center in Roxbury, Massachusetts. Now, the Boston Islamic Center in Roxbury, Massachusetts, Mayor Menino gave that mosque to the Muslims there for a bargain price. The taxpayers put the lion's bill for that mosque. Now the Cambridge Mosque.
Are they doing the same thing for churches?
Not for synagogues, not for churches. I mean, because you see, Mayor Menino and Deval Patrick, they're both anti-Christ people that the people voted in for Bacon. Now this is what the Lord showed to me, is that this bombing was a judgment from God, and one of the reasons is that mosque in Roxbury, Massachusetts, the Boston Islamic Center, they would never do this for Jewish people, they would not do this for believers. That's one judgment, that's one sin. Another is gay marriage, and the other one's abortion. Now, what the Lord showed to me is...
Hang on, Jeff. Yeah, I just need to jump in for a second. Right now, you may be listening, and maybe you lost your limb at the Boston Marathon. Maybe you're friends of the family that lost a family member at the Boston Marathon. And I absolutely agree with you, Jeff, that the state of Massachusetts has done wrong in redefining marriage. I absolutely agree with you that there is often favoritism in building projects and things like that towards mosques that is not extended to churches or synagogues. At least that's what I've been told anecdotally, and that's what I've witnessed in places like England. And I'm so glad, Jeff, that you were there sharing the gospel. But I want to say this. I want to say plainly that the last thing I want any of those victims, families affected by the bombing to think is that we are saying that those things happen to them as some type of divine judgment. I just want to say that plainly. And Jeff, I know your heart and where you're coming from, and I know you're not saying those individual people are guilty, but it's just very important that I make that statement on the heels of what you were saying. All right, so keep sharing the gospel, keep drawing people to Jesus, and yes, America needs God. The first and foremost sins that we need to deal with are the sins in the church, the things that we have done wrong. I believe you agree with that as well. 1 Peter 4:17, it's time for judgment to begin with the house of God. That's where it always comes first. Some have asked the question, if tornadoes and earthquakes and things like that are divine judgment, how come they're not wiping out church buildings first? That's a fair question. Yes, there are many things that happen that are divine judgments. Yes, there are things that happen because divine protection has been withdrawn. And there are things that happen because of breakdowns in government intelligence and things like that. And that could be divine judgment. But it's just important, Jeff, that we watch our words here and speak very, very carefully. So that's why I jumped in. It's important enough for me to do that. But keep sharing Jesus. Keep reaching out to people. And Jeff, if I could just ask you one question before our break here. Could you tell me what the atmosphere was like? Obviously, you fear the Lord, Jeff. Obviously, you hear bombs going off. You're thinking about divine judgment and things like this. The panic, the fear. Just from your perspective, just got a few seconds, but how did it feel on your end to be there wanting to share Jesus in the midst of one of the most horrific things any of us will ever get to live through?
Well, a lot of the people were very, very hard. There were some that listened, and we will lose the protection of this country when this country does evil things. And it'll be worse. I mean, the Lord showed to me that greater judgments will come because we have no more hedge like the John Hancock Tower and the Prudential Tower. What you've seen in Boston is a sample of what's coming to other parts of the country. And when the Lord showed to me that a suitcase nuke will go off in Boston in front of the Hancock Tower and the Prudential Building, it'll shut down the whole New England area. God is showing that they lift up his protection and let the demons come in.
All right, we got a break, Jeff, but thank you for weighing in. When I see tragedies like that, do I think to myself, where is the divine protection? What's wrong? Of course we all do. But I say first and foremost, we look at the sins of the church and we ask God to have mercy on our land.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast here on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. When you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, just click right on the bar on top, click on Jewish. You can watch Think It Through, our TV episodes we did for the Inspiration Network. If you've never seen them, go watch them. You'll be thrilled. Point your Jewish friends to them. Click on Real Messiah for a wealth of Jewish-related materials that are there. And then every day, just check it out. Go to the website. You'll see our special offers for the week. You will click on latest article, latest audio, latest video, latest blog. A lot of great stuff there for you. Okay. I am going to go to the phones in one moment, but Johnny, get ready. Caller number 6, I want to give you a free copy of the book by James White, What Every Christian Needs to Know About the Quran. Excellent book. I wrote an endorsement for it myself. Caller number 6 at 866-348-7884. Let's go to the phones. Bob in Hyattsville, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
You're welcome. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
That's great. Well, I just want to say a couple things. Julian Bond, you were mentioning.
Yeah, it was MSNBC, so it got some play.
Yeah, I heard some of that. But, years ago, long before God saved me, and I was a pretty big pot smoker for about a year, I remember he was on Dick Cavett's show. And I don't even remember what they were talking about, but it made me paranoid, which was a blessing in disguise looking back, because then I eventually quit smoking pot and cigarettes. But I don't think anything that he says has anything to do with race or anything. It has to do, he's more Caucasian, I think, than anything else.
Oh yeah, and by the way, Bob, just hang on one second. Yeah,
yes,
friends, we do have a winner, friends. So,
is it me?
No. tell you what, I got one extra copy, and I'm gonna send you one also.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, just so you know this though, but yeah, no more calls, friends. We're good. Just so you understand this, I simply introduced him with the credentials of who he was. I was not, in no way was I implying that this is a racial comment.
Oh, no, I didn't think
that he made. Oh, okay, good. Because I wouldn't want anyone to think that whatsoever.
I thought that you were kind of laying it out there for people to comment on and give their, what they, I think it's the same thing. I don't know if it's the same thing, but you talk. It's a Westbury, so-called Westbury Baptist Church.
Westboro Baptist, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, these people are satanic, but I'm judging them. I guess if I do that, I mean they might. Well,
let's just say this: if they are spewing hate, they are of their father, the devil, more than they are of the heavenly Father. Now, God ultimately knows their hearts, but that type of speech can legitimately be called hate speech. I document a lot of it in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Hey, listen, Bob, it's interesting that Julian Bond helped you get paranoid.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a, long before I was saved, it kind of, I don't remember what he said, but I was sitting there listening to him talk to Dick Cavett. He's not a dumb guy, and I don't even remember what it was about.
Fascinating.
I mean,
can I say this, though,
real quick?
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned, Planned Parenthood and abortion on demand and all this type of thing and euthanasia, it's like taking an upside down cross and sacrificing a virgin to Satan with a happy face. Because a lot of these girls, God bless them, they're deceived. They don't know any better. They're desperate. Some of them go in there, now they're thinking about being birth control and all this type of thing. We've been brainwashed, you know, and it's a horrible thing. And but I feel bad for a lot of them. I was having to ask.
Yeah, and Bob, I got to jump in. We're short on time, number one. And number two, that's tying in with our subject from yesterday. Yeah, but absolutely, deception is massive. If you get a chance, listen to the second hour from yesterday's broadcast on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire slide that you will see in a prominent way on the homepage. Friends, Dennis Prager points out that the Church of Scotland report asserts that the Bible does not support the existence of a Jewish state. It asserts that justice and the existence of a Jewish state are mutually exclusive, all with backed up with quotes. It asserts that the Jews' return to Israel has no biblical basis. It asserts that the notion that the Jews have or ever had a special relationship with God, one of the most oft-repeated ideas in the Hebrew Bible, is negated in that very same Bible. It asserts that God's promise to the land of Abraham has nothing to do with the Jews. It is only about Jesus. It asserts that even Jesus, that proud religious Jew, did not believe in any special relationship between God and the Jews. And on and on. It's shocking. What's even more shocking is when you see what the Church of Scotland, what leaders said in the past. I'm going to share that with you in the next hour. So I understand that in many of our stations, we're saying goodbye to you right now, but you can always continue to listen online, or when you get home, listen online or subscribe to our podcast at AskDrBrown.org. And just click on the Line of Fire to do that. I'll be joined by a Messianic Jewish rabbi colleague. Sorry, Bob. My bad. I hung up the phone. Well, I hit the drop button. I don't have a phone here in my office. My studio. I hung up before we got your address to send you the free book. Andrew, thanks for catching that. I caught it as well, a second too late. So, Bob, do call us back as you have the opportunity, and we will get you that free book. And if you're on the line, stay with us, because we'll be taking your calls in the next hour. Do you have a particular burden to see Jewish people saved? Do you feel that it's important in terms of God's overall scheme of things? Just as it's important for the gospel to go to all the nations, and as the gospel goes to all the nations, Matthew 24:14, I believe in its ultimate sense, the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all nations, then the end will come, that the fullness of the Gentiles and the turning of the Jewish people are the great acts that bring the culmination of this age, and then the return of Jesus the Messiah. That's what I believe. I believe many of you hold to that very same thing, written on your heart by the Scripture, just written on your heart by the Spirit. Those are two areas where we're on the front lines. We're raising up and sending out missionaries to the ends of the earth through our school of ministry. And the first fruits of your funds that come in, we put towards our work around the world. And we are helping reach the Jewish people in unique frontline ways and helping Jewish people who've come to faith and help overcome objections to Jewish faith in Jesus. And we're standing on the front lines of moral and cultural righteousness. So stand with us as you're standing with us. You're helping in many of these key areas of ministry. And for your gift of any size, if you haven't yet done this week, we want to send you my book, Revolution, the Call of Holy War, a book that will light a fire in your life as it's lit a fire in the lives by God's grace of multiplied tens of thousands. And in the book, we'll enclose a 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolution that will really help you live this out. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there is a demonic spirit that is ultimately behind anti-Semitism and wants to destroy the Jewish people. The good news is it will be defeated by the Holy Spirit. How is it that a church tradition that once stood solidly with the Jewish people is now blatantly anti-Semitic?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. I'm about to introduce a special guest who wants to bring to you, our listening audience, some very important insights and warnings about the Church of Scotland, a direction it's taken, a direction that's being taken by some denominations in America and Europe and other parts of the world, a very disturbing direction, rightly called anti-Semitic. I want to talk to you about that with my guest in a moment. And if you have Jewish-related calls, as always, the number to call, 866-348-7884. My latest article is entitled From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, From Jewish Love to Jewish Hatred, for those not familiar with those terms. From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, the Church of Scotland then and now. We're going to focus on the now in a moment. Later in the show, I'll focus on the then. To read this article, go to askdrbrown.org and just click on latest article. Just a couple of quick things, though, and then I want to introduce my special guest, Messianic Jewish rabbi and leader, Russ Resnick. Debate I had on Saturday, this past Saturday on Long Island, a delightful debate with my longtime friend, colleague, and former student, Pastor Bruce Bennett, on Calvinism, on who makes the final choice in salvation, God or man. Through the hard, diligent work of a videographer, that is already available online. You can watch it online, free. On our YouTube channel, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest video. Let us know what you think of that. Also, big news for Charlotte. Big news for the city of Charlotte. This is the first in the nation. You've been listening to me, for years now, almost 5 years, probably about 5 years. This hour we have been on for several years now, Charlotte time, 3 to 4 in the afternoon. But you do not get my first hour on your stations, on the Truth Network. You will now get the first hour beginning Monday. This is the first city in the nation that will get both hours live, 960 AM, 105.7 FM. And that will be beginning Monday, 2 to 3. You'll be the first city in the nation getting both hours live on radio. And for many reasons, we have taken the step. It's a step in faith. We need to hear from many of you in Charlotte to stand with us, to help us, to support us. If you want to become a regular sponsor of the show, if you want to become a torchbearer, if you can make a generous one-time gift that would help us immensely at this time, you can contact us through the website, askdrbrown.org. Click contact. You can donate through the website, or you can always call 1-800-278-9978. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. And in a moment, I will welcome my guest, Russell Resnick. He is a veteran Messianic Jewish rabbi, teacher, counselor, writer. He serves as the executive director of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, the UMJC, providing administrative oversight. He serves as a spokesman to the wider Christian and Jewish communities. And he is a Messianic Jewish rabbi to rabbis within the Messianic Jewish world. And he holds a master's degree in counseling from the University of New Mexico and maintains credentials as a clinical mental health counselor. He has a lot to say. The UMJC has a lot to say about an absolutely horrific statement that has come out of the Church of Scotland. As soon as we come back, we'll be joined by Russell Resnick. You don't want to miss a word of this important discussion.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Early this month, Church of Scotland, not representing all denominations and all groups, but an official statement on behalf of the National Church, issued a report titled, The Inheritance of Abraham? A report on the Promised Land. It's so bad that Dennis Prager, who's careful with his words, has called it the ugliest depiction of Jews since medieval times. And it drew an official response from the UMJC, the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. Joining me now, the Executive Director, Messianic Jewish Rabbi Russ Resnick. Russ, thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, been a while since we've seen each other, but we crossed paths here and there on Facebook and with our common friends. So, of course, these are grave concerns. What prompted you and others on behalf of the Messianic Jewish movement to issue an official statement about this?
Well, I should make it clear that we joined four other groups. We joined our colleagues in the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, the International Alliance, International Messianic Jewish Alliance, and the International Alliance of Congregations and Synagogues. And we were also joined on this statement by the British Messianic Jewish Alliance because Scotland, you know, being part of Great Britain, it really seemed like we should bring them in too.
Absolutely.
And we were quite involved in this sort of thing last year, working with the Alliance in a number of statements coming against what we really see as a rising anti-Zionism, a rising replacement theology, and at times bordering on anti-Semitism, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on our toes this year. We were actually ready for an opportunity to join forces again and make a statement to stand with Israel, to stand with the Jewish people. But we were surprised at the radical replacement theology, the radical anti-Zionism, and really borderline anti-Semitism of this statement. This is the most over-the-top church statement like this that I've seen.
All right, so it's not that you take exception to a church group saying we're concerned about justice for the Palestinians and we would love to facilitate dialogue between the Israelis and Palestinians. It's not simply that they say, well, according to our end time views, we don't have the same eschatology. We don't see a millennial kingdom, but we stand for justice for the Jewish people and do recognize God's hand on them. This goes far, far beyond that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's part of the calling of the church, and I would say part of the calling of the Messianic Jewish community to promote justice and to look at both sides of a conflict in any situation. But what you see here is really a one-sided parroting of some of the really radical Palestinian positions, Palestinian anti-Israel positions, coupled with a radical replacement theology. I'll give you what I think is the punchline, although there's a few of them in this report.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the punchlines says, promises about the land of Israel were never intended to be taken literally.
Ugh.
Promises about the land of Israel were never intended to be taken literally or as applying to a defined geographical territory. So they're not just saying that, Israel has been unfair in specific ways to Palestinians, which we could certainly discuss and argue about. They're saying that the whole Jewish notion of a return to the land of Israel is misguided. They're saying that the way that Jews have read and understood Scripture for 2,000 years is mistaken. And so the Scottish Council of Jewish Communities respond to the paper. They say the arrogance of telling the Jewish people how to interpret Jewish texts and Jewish theology is breathtaking. And they nailed it. It's the arrogance of a church group to impose its theology, which is quite questionable, upon another group, upon the Jewish people, and to delegitimize the Jewish people and their vision for the restoration to the land of Israel is really staggering.
Right, and it's a fundamental delegitimizing of the people, because it's saying there is no calling, there is no divine purpose, there is nothing in which the Jewish people have been given a sacred mission or commission by God. And it's also right. saying that everyone in what we would call Old Testament times in the Christian world, so let's go back 2,500 years or 3,000 years, saying that there were specific literal land promises, that they were all wrong. And that what Moses certainly believed, and Joshua certainly believed, and Jeremiah certainly believed, and all the prophets who lived certainly believed, that they were all wrong. And if you take this further, let's think about this, because many folks from a non-Jewish background don't think this through. Russ, if someone claimed to be the Messiah in the first century, and that teacher, that leader, worked all kinds of miracles, and then said, "I am abolishing the Torah," right. And what would we do as Jews to someone like that as far as their messianic claims?
We would obey Deuteronomy 13 that says, do not follow such a person, and in fact that he should be executed.
Right. So we'd repudiate it, and here the Church of Scotland is saying that the whole
right,
thing is completely repudiated. It's the very thing that would disqualify it from being taken seriously.
Right. That the New Testament, so in their view, which we oppose, they're saying the New Testament so radically redefines what they call the Old Testament that without the New Testament understanding, you're going to be completely led astray by the Old Testament. And the irony, as you point out, is that the Old Testament itself says if a prophet comes to lead you astray from this Torah, reject him no matter what he does. So they really, in an ironic way, they really drive a wedge between Jesus and the Jewish people with this statement.
Right. If they are right, then Jesus is not the Messiah of Israel. The problem
right.
is, if Yeshua is not the Messiah of Israel, then he's not the Savior of the world, because everything he said and everything the New Testament writers said about him was that he came to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets.
Right.
And so if you want to separate him from Israel, you now invalidate him as the Savior. You can't have it both ways. Russ, let me play the devil's advocate for a minute and try to argue their point. Well, where does the New Testament ever affirm special chosenness or special divine purpose for the Jewish people? Show me that in the New Testament, Russ.
I think that that's the entire weight of Paul's argument in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He's trying to show how the chosenness of Israel still pertains. It still matters even after the coming of the Messiah and even after the majority of the Jewish people reject Yeshua as the Messiah. Paul says, does this mean that God has rejected his people? And his answer is by no means. And he spends three chapters of his most important letter showing how the promises to Israel are still good, even after the coming of Yeshua. And toward the end of that whole section, he says that there is a hardening in part, or hardening upon part of Israel that's temporary until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, whatever he means by that, and thus all Israel will be saved. And he goes on and he says, because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Romans 11:29. So there's one example, and we can come up with more, of course, from the New Testament, where
right,
it explicitly defends.
It's such a major one, and Paul, as you said, takes that much time. What do you think Yeshua meant when he said in John 4, speaking to the Samaritan woman, that salvation is of the Jews? What do you take that to mean?
I think that we can't understand the biblical meaning of salvation apart from its Jewish context and Jewish background. I think part of it is interpretive, because the word salvation could mean all kinds of different things, right, in different contexts and to different
mm-hmm.
people. But we have to understand the Jewish context and meaning of it. But I think perhaps on a more profound level, salvation, Yeshua in Hebrew, or Yeshua in its male form, Yeshua himself is salvation. He comes from the Jewish people. He remains the Lion of Judah. So in that sense, salvation comes forth from the Jews as well. We believe it never departs, that the message, the history, the unfolding of salvation is always tied in with the Jewish story and Jewish history.
Yeah, and that's the very thing, sadly, that the Church of Scotland wants to sever. Hey, I want to take just another moment with Rabbi Russ Resnick on the other side of this break, just to talk about how widespread this thinking is in Europe, in America. Where does it come from? And then later in the broadcast, give you some of the amazing history about church leaders of Scotland in the past, but a tremendous heart for the restoration of the Jewish people. Be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One Jewish leader, Jonathan Arkush, responded to the report from the Church of Scotland saying it is a slap in the face to the Jewish community. I'd say in certain ways that's even an understatement. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, welcome back to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. I will go to the phones and take your calls in a moment, but I want to finish up with Messianic Jewish leader, friend and colleague, Russ Resnick. Russ, first, how can folks read the official response, the press release from the UMJC and these other Messianic Jewish associations?
The response is on our website, umjc.org, and it's also on the Alliance website, mjaa.org. And it's floating around, you know, in cyberspace, but those are the two best places to get it. The
Great.
Church of Scotland report itself was actually withdrawn. And I want to point this out so that your listeners can pray. The report was withdrawn, and it's going to be revised and then submitted in a few days to the General Assembly of the Church. So I think that they're still aiming to accomplish the same goal and maybe couching it in a little more subtle terms. But
it's certainly
a live issue.
It's certainly positive that they responded to criticism on a certain level. When I was researching this, I saw a couple years back there was a similar statement, maybe not as extreme, but similar controversy surrounding it. The problem is, this is what a lot of the leaders believe. So it's yeah. Nice if you know, you do counseling. What you know about what you forgot about counseling in the last 30 minutes is more than I learned in my lifetime. But it's not particularly helpful if the husband says to the wife, okay, I hate your guts and I despise you and I wish I never saw you, but I'll tone down my rhetoric a little bit.
Right.
So
yeah,
where does this – go ahead.
Well, the heart of the rhetoric is that the Jewish people have no inherent right, no inherent claim upon the land of Israel. And so they cast what we see as a prophetic return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. They cast it as part of 19th century imperialism and colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
So the original sin of the state of Israel, if you will, is coming into existence as a Jewish state, period. It's not the settlements, it's not what they call the occupation, it's existing as a Jewish state. And the report that got pulled actually says that in so many words, that until Israel gives up that claim to be the homeland of the Jewish people, it'll never accomplish justice.
Right, and with that, practice. The idea that there's a special destiny calling, chosenness on any level for
right.
the Jewish people, which has been quite costly to us as a people through the centuries. So to deny that, really, when you say it's borderline anti-Semitism, I think it crosses the line over into anti-Semitism because it's a fundamental repudiation of anything inherently Jewish that can claim Jewish identity in any way before God. Aside from just, hey, we're an ethnic group like any other ethnic group. Last question for you. As you travel in the church world, as you're a liaison between many Messianic Jewish congregations in the larger church world, in America, are you seeing more of a heart for Israel and appreciation of Messianic Jewish roots of the faith, or are you seeing a greater increase of replacement theology, or perhaps a little of both?
It's definitely both, Michael. I think that there's a heart, a love, a commitment to stand with Israel, to stand with the Jewish people, that's still very strong in this country. It's strong in some other countries. I've traveled in Brazil a few times, and there's a very strong pro-Israel, pro-Jewish element in the evangelical community in Brazil as well. But at the same time, there's a resurgent replacement theology and anti-Zionism, which is making new inroads into the evangelical church. And I think this is really a new thing.
Yeah.
That not just in liberal churches, but in the evangelical churches, a growing anti-Zionism, a growing embrace of replacement theology that's very troubling. And I think we really have our work cut out for us. When I say we, it's you and me, but it's also our friends throughout the Christian world who are standing with Israel to really be advocates, not just be pro-Israel, but also be an advocate for Israel within the wider Christian world.
Yeah, and you know, especially with the younger generation that cares about fairness and equality, but yeah, often at the expense of truth and biblical revelation, we see the exact same thing happening with homosexual-related issues, fairness, equality, without biblical truth. And hence a narrative is being cast that Israel's the villain and Palestinians are simply victims and leave, yeah, God out of the picture in certain ways. I'll just say this. I know you've got to run. We've got a break coming up. But it seems that it's always easier to love Jews and support Israel from a theoretical distance.
Right.
You know the little verse that says, oh, to be with the Jews in heaven, that will be glory. To live with them here on earth, that's another story. That after the Holocaust and Jewish horrific suffering and Jews as victims, it seems a lot of churches, even liberal churches, say we stand with Israel. But when it comes down to brass tacks, who are human beings with flaws and faults like everyone else, seeking to defend themselves and protect their borders and keep their children safe, and when they just try to live out their lives and they're no longer the terrible victims, it seems it's very hard for people to stand with the Jewish people. And it's kind of enlightening to see this unfold, isn't it?
Very, very quickly, in the report that was pulled, they specifically say that Israel has to recognize it's in a position of power, of imbalanced power, and for there to be justice, Israel has to relinquish that power, has to take a position of relative weakness for there to be justice.
Yeah, extraordinary and so enlightening.
We can handle Jews if they're the underdogs and weak, but we can't handle them in power.
Yeah, it's sadly true. Russ, thanks for the good work you're doing. Hopefully we can reconnect face-to-face in the near future. Folks, go to umjc.org or mjaa.org to read the statement. God bless you, dear brother.
You too. Thank you, Michael. Good to be with you.
All right. All right, friends, I'll be taking your calls. Hang in there. I know some of you have been holding for a while. I'll be taking your calls right on the other side of the break. Remember, all of our friends in Charlotte, first city in America, we will be live both hours of the Line of Fire. So beginning Monday in Charlotte, on the very station where you're listening now, tune in at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3, not just from 3 to 4, and you will hear my voice. And if you could stand with us all over the country, but in Charlotte in particular, that would be awesome. Your financial gift support would be greatly appreciated. The number to call, 1-800-278-9978. There's so much the Lord's called us to do. There's so much He's put before us. And this is a team effort. This is a joint effort. Together, we're making a difference. We don't mind the attack, the pressure, the challenges, but we do need help from our family to get this accomplished. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I will send you my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, The Jesus Way to Change the World. It'll rock your world. And in the book, you will get a 5x7 card. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary that will really help you to live this out. 1-800-278-9978. Back with some amazing sound bites, more on the Church of Scotland in the past, and your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Paul, do I have some quotes I want to share with you, some information I want to get to you. Yes, the Church of Scotland statement, the report, the Inheritance of Abraham, a report on the promised land in quotes, it is being reevaluated. There is protest to it, rightly so, but you need to know about the Church of Scotland of the past. 866-348-7884. Welcome to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And Andrew, get clips 1 and 2 ready. Reverend Stephen Sizer, vicar in the Church of England, is a staunch opponent of what he would call Christian Zionism, hotly opposes any idea that there are national promises that remain for the Jewish people or that the Jewish people have any divine right to the land, and has been criticized as anti-Semitic by other church colleagues and even called for discipline. Of course, he would strenuously deny that he is anti-Semitic in any way. he has weighed in on this as well. And in fact, before I go to your call, so I don't have to rush any of you on the phone, let me let you hear from Reverend Sizer himself. We have invited him to join me on the air, thus far without any success or response, but others are trying to set up public forums where he and I can have a debate, dialogue over these very important biblical issues. Clip number one.
The Church of Scotland's report is about Israel, the land, and the way in which Zionists try to use the Bible to justify an exclusive claim to the land. The land belongs to God. God shares it with people who worship him and trust him, irrespective of their race or background. So the report repudiates or rejects the idea that the land belongs to the Jews alone.
The report from the Church of Scotland acknowledges that the idea of misinterpreted biblical prophecy combined with norms of European colonialism led to the Balfour Declaration in 1917, when the British government agreed to, quote, a Jewish homeland in Palestine and the origins of the current crisis in the region. The research by the church is being seen as significant for a number of reasons.
This is a report from the Church of Scotland, and therefore it is the denomination as a whole saying this is our view and this is our contribution to the peace process in Israel-Palestine. It's news that the Israelis don't want, because they want to maintain the idea that they have the church in their pocket, that the church is siding with Zionism against Islam. Well, this report questions that premise.
Yep, the Israelis just want to keep the church in their pocket, and they don't want these views disputed. Let's just listen to clip number 2.
This attempt to block any discussion of the divine right argument might be counterproductive, as Dr. Sizer explains.
Even adverse publicity is positive, because increasingly the layman, people on the street, people who don't normally write letters to the press or make comments, are figuring out what's happening in Israel-Palestine. You know, we don't look at this in isolation.
The Church of Scotland's report is the latest in a line of papers from various religious groups adding their voices to the call for justice for the Palestinians. It is hoped that by challenging the very foundations of Israel's claims to the land of the Palestinians, a solution to the crisis in the region can be arrived at sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah, this is how you arrive at a solution. You call it the land of the Palestinians. You say a call for justice only means justice for the Palestinians, because Israel somehow doesn't need justice as this Goliath superpower. And you deny that the Jewish people have any right to the land or that there should be a Jewish state in the Middle East. And you say that Jews have never especially been chosen by God, that Jesus denies that they were, and that any promise to the land, so-called, has been misinterpreted. Oh, yeah, that's how you move towards peace. Sarcasm, fully intended. Back with your calls.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. If you're just tuning in, listening in Charlotte, I've got big news. No exaggeration, big news, first of its kind in America for us on The Line of Fire, and I'm very excited to share that with you in a moment. 866-34-8-7-8-8-4. Sharon in Hicksville on Long Island, thanks for holding so long. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you hearing from me because I am just a lay person. I am a Jewish believer for many, many years. I'm married to a Christian gentleman. I am a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And I am not amazed at, nor shocked at this proclamation from the Church of Scotland. I can only say on an individual basis, I have heard many, not all, but many Scottish people have this negative opinion of Jewish people. This is before I became a believer, and after I became a believer, that they really felt that, that I really saw anti-Semitic feelings toward Jewish people. So I'm totally not astounded by this. Even though I know you say that before there was a love for Jewish people, I saw very little of it in my experience, and I'm talking about from like 1972 to when I was working in about 2000 to 2000. But I do want to say not everyone is like that. What I do fear is, and I feel it is, I belong to a Messianic community, Shuva Yisrael, Olive Tree. I was blessed by being taught by Dr. Michael Rydelnik, Congregational Leader Marty Frum, and presently Rabbi David Rosenberg and Helene Rosenberg. So I am blessed with good teaching and biblical teaching. And what I ask of these people is, what are you saying? Are you truly saying that whatever was in the Old Testament before is not, this is what I'm hearing, even from the church that is now the new church, the church is now, it is a new church, it has never had anything to do with the old church. So in other words, that when Adonai, when God himself put Abram to sleep and walked between the parts, and made a covenant with him, that's no longer valid.
In Genesis 15, let me just jump in because Sharon, I sense you're about to give us a tour of the scriptures, reminding us of the promises to. No, that would be fine. In other words, I know you have it in you to do. I just want to pause and look at this. Genesis 15. God walks between the covenantal pieces, which symbolizes that he's taking the responsibility of the covenant on himself. It's one way that, that even with the Sinai covenant with its conditions and that brings about the exile of Israel and the Jewish people, God still promised it unconditionally as ultimately the heritage. And as he said in Ezekiel 36 and in other passages, even when Israel was in sin, because his name was being blasphemed and he had purposes, he would bring his people back to the land. Sharon, this statement from the Church of Scotland report that is currently being reevaluated says this: there has been a widespread assumption by many Christians as well as many Jewish people that the Bible supports an essentially Jewish state of Israel. This raises an increasing number of difficulties. The report says there is a direct conflict of interest between wanting human rights and justice for all and retaining the right to the land. So Sharon, it is saying that as Jewish people through the years, through the centuries, said, yeah, that's our country, that's our homeland, and has prayed every Passover next year in Jerusalem, as you learned so well from these fine teachers, many of whom are dear friends of mine, some that you mentioned. It's all repudiated, Sharon. It's all repudiated. Here's from Eurovision. on Wednesday, so yesterday, the chairman of the Malmö Municipality's Culture Committee, Daniel Sestrajcic, sorry for the mispronunciation of the last name, said Israel should be boycotted from Eurovision, a major international event with delegations from 39 countries. Israel can return when Palestine is free, he shouted at a demonstration. Yep, this is the reality, Sharon, that we are dealing with. Thank you for the call, 866-348-7884. And let me say this, and I will get right back to your calls. As I documented my article, From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, the Church of Scotland Then and Now. Read that. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the latest article. You can read it. There's also a link to an excellent article by Dennis Prager. I point out the hope of Scottish Presbyterian leaders in the past. And they built some of them on theologies like that of John Owen, the great Puritan theologian in England. 1600s, John Owen said, "The Jews shall be gathered from all parts of the earth. They are scattered and brought home into their homeland." Now, even if you say, well, John Owen didn't think it would happen politically, or John, okay, he still believed there was a promise that the Jewish people would be regathered by God and that that was their homeland. Robert Layton, a contemporary of Owen, this is all in my article, and you can get it all in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. "Undoubtedly, that people of the Jews shall once more be commanded to arise and shine," Isaiah 60, "and their return shall be the riches of the Gentiles," referring to Romans 11, 12, and that shall be a more glorious time than ever the church of God did yet behold. In contrast that with this quote I just read from the report, there has been a widespread assumption by many Christians as well as many Jewish people that the Bible supports an essentially Jewish state of Israel. Samuel Rutherford, contemporary of Owen, Scottish Presbyterian leader, passionate spiritual man. For him, the greatest dream of all was seeing the day when the Jewish people and Jesus would be reconciled, referring to Israel as Christ's, quote, last married bride and his, quote, last marriage love on the earth. For Rutherford, the Jewish people had a unique role to play in the world, and their embrace of Jesus as their long-forsaken king would literally be life from the dead. This is what he wrote. "Oh, to see the sight next to Christ coming in the clouds, the most joyful. Our elder brethren, the Jews, and Christ fall upon one another's necks and kiss each other. They belong asunder. They will be kind to one another when they meet." I've got a few more quotes for you as well. Let's go to... Let's go to Patrick in West Winfield. You know, when I see MI, I have this mental block. Michigan, thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown, and I appreciate you guys taking the subject up and hitting it head on. I'm Irish. My wife is Scottish, and I was shocked when I saw this. And, you know, to me, it's just, when I read the article, it was just clearly to me the gospel of the Antichrist. This is something you would expect to come out of his mouth. I don't have any other understanding other than they're just misinformed, and the error is so large, I don't know how it can be justified from a simple reading of the text.
Yeah, and Patrick, I know believers who love the Lord and who work closely with Palestinians, and they see things so much through their eyes that they have a negative view of Israel, but they still recognize that God has purposes for Israel and the Jewish people. They believe Israel even has a right to the land. They just feel that things are not fair and just, and that Christians just give wholehearted support to Israel in an uncritical way. And I respect their views, and we can dialogue about that. But when you repudiate Scripture to the point they have, I mean, saying that there has never been a literal promise to the land for the Jewish people, or that Jewish people in no way could claim a special chosenness by God, that Jesus somehow repudiated that. He repudiated a sense of special privilege. John the Immerser said God can raise it from these stones, children of Abraham. But Yeshua absolutely reaffirmed the promises to his people. He made clear he wouldn't even return to Jerusalem until he was welcomed back by a Jewish Jerusalem at the end of Matthew 23. And Paul reiterated clearly, as we saw in the last half hour with my guest, Messianic Jewish leader Russ Resnick, that Paul reiterated that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, with special focus on Israel. So, yeah, there is an essential repudiation of the New Testament and of Jesus to me in a document like this, and thereby with it a repudiation of the right understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures. All right, I want to come back with your calls. Hang in there. I will get to you. I've got a couple more quotes I want to share from you from Church of Scotland leaders. And it is Shavuot, Pentecost. So I'll tell you the significance of that, the Feast of Weeks, when we return. Yeah, all that, it's all going to happen in this last segment. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Okay, if you're listening in Charlotte, big news, major news, the biggest radio news we could give you. Charlotte, North Carolina will be the first city in America carrying both hours of the Line of Fire live on radio, beginning this coming Monday, friends, this coming Monday. And from there on, by God's grace, and if you stand with us and help us, it will continue. We'll be on not just from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, but from 2 to 3. The station you're listening on right now, you'll be able to hear me from 2 to 3. And that means new content, different guests. We cover different things or extended things from hour to hour. Please spread the word. Will you do that? Tell as many friends as you can. Tweet it, send it on Facebook, email, announce it in your churches. Would you do that, please? Robert Murray McShane, known as Holy McShane, just on this earth about 30 years, but a world changer. He came back from a mission to Palestine, exploratory mission to the Jews in 1839. He preached a sermon based on Romans 1:16, which states that the gospel is for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Some of the reasons he gave for this divine mandate were, it is like God to care first for the Jews, and because they will give life to the dead world, Romans 11. And based on the ancient promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, namely that God would bless those who blessed Abraham's offering, McShane and his colleagues believed in the principle of blessed is he that blesseth thee. And it's tragically, you heard quotes from Reverend Stephen Sizer, one of the most militant opponents to the idea that the Jewish people have been called back by God to the land now and have a right or claim to the land. He was part of a conference in 2010 in which he bashed the idea of Christian Zionism, and a documentary was previewed there, which I've called an anti-Semitic hit piece. 1889, Scottish leader, church leader Andrew Bonar remarked that, quote, Israel is the everlasting nation who are to be life from the dead to all nations. And the sure word of prophecy declares, he that scattereth Israel shall gather them, Jeremiah 31. And yea, I will rejoice over them and will plant them in their own land assuredly with all my heart, with all my soul, Jeremiah 32. And look at this verse that he spoke regarding the physical and spiritual restoration of Israel. Crowned with her fairest hope, the church shall triumph with her Lord, and earth her jubilee shall keep when Israel is restored. It's in my article, From Philo-Semitism to Anti-Semitism, the Church of Scotland, Then and Now. Click on my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the latest article, and there it is. Also, my debate from last Saturday night on Calvinism with Pastor Bruce Bennett is already online on our YouTube channel. Click on the latest video to watch that on AskDrBrown.org. And my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, covers some of these quotes and issues in greater depth. All right, back to the phones, Elwin in Fairfield, California. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good evening, Dr. Brown. Good talking to you. Dr. Brown, I do have a question for you. It's because I teach in a Bible college. You know, our church has formed a Bible college. But I was looking through a lot of theological books, and I was listening to what you were saying earlier with your guest. My question, and since I've been listening to you for a long time, and I was going through these books, surveying them, whilst doing my research, I found no topic, as for in the theology books, where they, you know, intertwine the Jewish teaching or biblical prophecy from, you know, to identify Jewishness in it at all. In other words, it's been, you know, cause I don't know if it was intentional or whatever, but it was excluded from a lot of theological writing. So that what you're talking about, if I'm being taught this, when I'm come to a situation, I'm going to fall back on what I've been taught.
Yes, sir.
And the Christian church, the Christian teachings, and I thank you for your writings, is because it's helped me to be balanced, is because if I didn't have that, I would be still thinking the way I did about 20 years ago.
Yeah, and Elwin, I understand that. I have talked to seminary professors, church scholars, who know more. As the saying goes, you know, they forgot in the last minute more than I've learned, you know, about church history and stuff like that. And I'll ask them, when do you cover some of these issues in your church history classes? And they said, well, actually, we don't. And then I've talked to other biblical scholars, well, when do you bring these perspectives in? And often they don't. Let me commend two books to you, Elwin. All right, two books, one by Barry Horner, H-O-R-N-E-R, Future Israel. Future Israel by Barry Horner, which will really give a look, excuse me, at the prophetic scriptures in light of just a solid biblical hermeneutic that takes the Old Testament seriously. And then a book that'll give you some excellent history. It's by Ronald Diprose, D-I-P-R-O-S-E. Ronald Diprose, D-I-P-R-O-S-E, Israel and the Church, The Origins and Effects of Replacement Theology. He's based in Italy. We spent time together in one of my meetings there years ago. You'll find it to be a tremendous eye-opener, Israel and the Church, The Origins and Effects of Replacement Theology. Hey, friends, I will not be able to get to the rest of your calls, but if you call in tomorrow and you've got questions, we've got answers, we will make note to put you at the top of the list so that we'll get your calls before others if you call in tomorrow. According to Jewish tradition, the law was given at Mount Sinai at the time of the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, Pentecost. You can point to a time close to that, but you can't prove that it happened at that time. But Jewish tradition says it did. Well, the great parallel, of course, in the New Testament with Messiah being our Passover lamb, now 50 days later, Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, the Holy Spirit is now given in the book of Acts in the second chapter. And there was fire on Sinai, the fire of the Spirit at Pentecost. As a result of the perfection of God's law being given, the sin of Israel was revealed, and 3,000 Israelites died when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Sin was again convicted. This time, 3,000 Israelites were saved. Fascinating, isn't it? Friends, stand with us, especially our friends in the greater Charlotte area. Enable us to do this. We've stepped out in faith, but we need your help. Become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, or help with a generous one-time gift. And everyone, for your gift of any size, I want to get this in your hands. I'm holding it in my hand now. And I want it to burn in your hands and your heart. Revolution, the call of holy war, the Jesus way to change the world. Not the methods of the world, hatred, violence, intimidation, anger, but the Jesus way to change the world. I'm telling you, it'll spark you. It'll ignite you. And when you get the book, we're enclosing in it a 5x7 card with 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Practical. This is how you live it out. To help us, this is for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, while I grieve over those that stand against Israel, while I grieve over those who say God has no future promises for Israel, I grieve more for them than for the Jewish people, because God will keep his promises.